They say I wouldn't do it like I won't. They say I couldn't do it and they feel. They say I wouldn't do it and I fall. They say I couldn't do it and I did.
I'm a champion. I'm a champion.
All right, let's go, let's go.
All right, let's go.
This is Cameron.
Yep.
Boylan. Listen, hey, I am Doc. I am the uncle. I am your cousin. I'm that one who's going to give you that information from Encourage Nation. I'm from RVA. Where you from?
I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas, originally.
Little Rock, Arkansas. But we in where? We in the state that says bigger?
We in Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas, where they do it big all the time.
Right.
Now, so let's hear. Cam, listen, I thank you for being on this. I thank you for the connection, the collaboration. But here, we getting ready to get into it.
Right.
Rapid fire. Listen, if you could date anybody, who would you date right now?
Like celebrity?
Celebrity.
My crush has always been Lauren London.
Lauren London.
Yep.
Okay. Nice pick.
Yeah, she's still grieving, though.
Oh, yeah, so we got to leave alone.
Right.
So when we started to say, what is one thing that you would say if somebody needed to know something about you, what would you say that they don't know?
That they don't know. I feel like everybody know it, but, I mean, the key thing about me is I'm the life of the party wherever I go.
Life of the party.
Life of the party.
All right, now. So when somebody say, Cam, what are you going to be doing in the next 5 years? What do you think you'll be doing?
Making a difference in the world, encouraging, influencing people, and having a good time while I do it.
Having a good time while you do it.
Yeah, I'm always having a good time.
So when we start talking about mental health, Cam, if you start to say one thing about mental health and you start telling men, what would you tell them?
To really, like, whatever you feeling, to sit with it.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to avoid it, you can't run from your problems forever. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people do reckless things or have unhealthy habits to escape from, like, really dealing with yourself. But you really have to look in the mirror and, like, sit with who you really are and what's really going on with you. You have to face it in order to fix it.
All right. So when we start talking about trends right now, as far as in menswear, what they're doing, this weekend is about menswear, and they're doing a big thing here. Neandre is bringing that here. Dallas, everything's going. What do you think some of the trends are right now?
Definitely that Western cowboy look, for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's ever going to really die down anytime soon.
Right.
But fitted, tailored looks.
Okay.
High boots in high fashion realm, bold, loud colors. I think in menswear, there are becoming a lot of risk, or guys are starting to be more comfortable in their masculinity and taking risk outside of just traditional fashion, as far as just regular boxy suits. Mm-hmm. Like I'm saying, like, people are using bold colors, different type of accessories, like the hats you got on, like, just different things to kind of, like, express personality.
Right. So when we start looking at things and we start saying that you were someone who stepped outside of the box, right?
Correct.
You're not supposed to be on the stage according to, quote unquote, the modeling industry. You know, you're supposed to be, you know, size this or size that. But then you decided you were going to step outside. You were going to do your thing. How did you get that gumption? How did you get that fire under you? Say, let's go. And I believe that there's a platform for me.
I think it's just always, I just always had that intrinsic motivation. Like, I've always just marched to the beat of my own drum. I think it was just about preparation intersecting that opportunity. So at the time, I was in corporate America right out of school. I was always very academic. I was a scholar. So I'm not somebody that just went to school. Like, I applied myself. I took advantage of different opportunities, but I realized I wasn't happy in my field. I was doing supply chain logistics, business management with Amazon and then Walmart, and I'm just like, this can't be it. Mm-hmm. I'm working 14-hour days. I did all this stuff in school to end up here. Like, I'm like, I'm not feeling it. So I always had a creative ability. I was always into performing arts. I was in orchestra for like 10 years playing a double bass. I was an artist, sketch. I really wanted to be an actor my entire life. So I really didn't even think modeling was going to. I knew you had to kind of do a little bit of both, but I didn't know that was going to be my foot into the door, into the industry. And so I just know I was on leave of absence at Walmart, and I'm like trying to figure out different things to do. I started trying to start my own clothing line for plus size men. I started working with some local photographers, some people I knew from back home. M Lane, I always give him a shout out because he's the one. If I didn't meet him, I feel like I would have been more delayed.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it wouldn't ever happen, but I feel like he kind of helped me light that fire for me.
Right.
And so Shaquille O'Neal was 2019. He had his Big and Tall Model Search contest, and that's where that opportunity met that preparation. Mm-hmm. And so I took off. I felt like I was him. It's the right time, and I feel like, I took off.
Yeah. So when we started talking about taking off, you started getting into another lane where the celebrities and people that you started meeting started coming together. You know, again, it wasn't just Cam, the guy who was trying to get into the industry, trying to make the connections, trying to do this. But then you changed into almost like a brand. You changed into an influencer. And now people are coming to you wanting to run. What has that been like? And who are some of the people that you have worked with that you think have really helped to shape who Cam is today?
It's hard to just identify a few people because I feel like everybody has contributed to my journey.
Okay.
No matter how small or how big they are. But as far as my lane, because like at first it was like I'm a big and tall model. But now I feel like I have enough credibility and enough experience mm-hmm. that I'm a model. I'm a professional model. I'm a professional influencer. Because I have marketed myself into a personal brand. But I would have to say that on the journey, I just feel that I had to kind of disconnect from like the labels. Because it's good to have a label to identify the niche, but that's not essentially who I am. Like I don't have to necessarily be a plus size mm-hmm. model or a black model, whatever. I think I'm just good in my craft.
Right.
And but I do feel. Some of the guys that have been instrumental in my growth has been one of my business partners. He's done a lot of work for Jay Boland. He's done a lot of work for people in the industry, period.
Yeah.
And so he gave me that exposure and gave me that knowledge and took me on kind of as a mentee as well.
Can you name drop?
Yeah, his name is Michael Dixon.
Okay.
His name is Michael Dixon.
Michael Dixon.
His organization is Mike Builds Brands.
Okay.
So when I came and started working with him during my leave of absence with Walmart, I originally came to him to help create the design for my clothing line. And it's something, he's a plus size guy too. It spoke to him. So he like, let's be partners. And so we just kind of, he showed me the ropes with a lot of things mm-hmm. in the industry. And through him, I met a lot of people like Sean Garrett. We're close friends. And a lot of other people in the industry, NFL players, work with CJ Goodwin, Don Morphy. I work with a lot of different people. Yeah. Don took a chance on me for this past fashion show, and we were both featured in Vogue magazine. So that opened up a lot of doors. Mm-hmm. So I feel like each opportunity, it just led to something bigger. It was all like building blocks.
Yeah. So can we transition just a little bit? Because, again, it's one thing to say that, hey, I have a dream, I have a vision, this is what I think I can do. But I believe that your faith had to have come some kind of way in there to help to
Absolutely.
Push you to that place where you say, you know, this is bigger than me, and I don't believe that I'm here by myself, but I think that there's a power, there's a Father, there's a God, there's a Jesus that's given me that power, that source. Talk about that journey.
Yeah, so at first when I was doing all this, it was more about me. It was like more ego-driven mm-hmm. to show people like, hey, I can do this. But it was not until it was a campaign for JCPenney in California. It was my first time even going to California. I was in L.A., and I always pray before every shoot. And then it's like that moment I realized it was no longer about me.
Yeah.
I realized like I was really influencing people that looked like me. Because believe it or not, majority of Americans are considered plus size. The average size for men's waist is 40.6, and that's above sample size in the fashion industry. So I was like, okay, I'm motivating other guys that I can identify with physically, but then also I was motivating people because they were coming to me to like follow your dream. A lot of people kind of get stuck in like doing stuff just to survive and to make ends meet with bills, but they're not really following their heart. The things that they really desire.
Mm-hmm.
So stepping out on faith to do that has really been a journey. I know on social media, everything looks all good. I mean, I get, you know, that's my profession. I'm supposed to make it look good. But those are highlights of my life. But that's not the behind the scenes. Like, the behind the scenes, I'm not gonna lie, is like been hell. Like I tell anybody that's close to me, like it's not what you think it is or whatever. It's because I'm passionate about it. But it's like you have to go through those moments of being broke or whatever. You get a gig, yeah, it may pay 2 to 3 bands or whatever, but then you don't get booked again for another 3 months or whatever. And then when you finally get paid, you get paid net 30, net 60. Or whatever. So then you gotta pay people. It's a lot of stuff that goes into it behind the and then I feel like before I really just took off, I was just in a really bad situation. I was in a toxic relationship. It was just really bad. Like a lot of times I look back and like thank God that I got past that. I was suicidal, I had a suicide attempt. It was really bad. I was really in a dark place. But I tell people all the time, I had to lose myself to find myself. Because as soon as all of that happened, because I feel like in that, my last serious relationship, a lot of things from my childhood had kind of came to surface. And I tell people all the time with mental health, like, your relationships are direct reflections of, like, your childhood trauma or whatever you went through as a child and your interactions with your parents, that all comes out in your romantic relationships and your friendships. So I feel like I had to really sit with that and deal with that at that time. I say 2020 when COVID hit and the world had slowed down, I had to really deal with myself. And I feel like after that, that's when everything started connecting and taking off and the modeling opportunity. Because I got signed before that, but I didn't get my first gig till like a year later. And then after that, it just started coming and rolling in. But I feel like I had to, like God had to strip me of everything that I thought I knew, that I had created for survival.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like thriving. I was just surviving. Mm-hmm. And so I had to unlearn a lot of things. And I feel like he had to create a new person, essentially.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of times when you said that, Cam, a lot of times we think that we lose things, but I think God reorganizes things.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times we look at what we have, but it's what's coming. And when we start talking about the invisible things, you know, it's the things that we don't see God, but we know he's there. We know he is there. It's the invisible things that become really the reality of what it is that we believe. And it's the faith that brings things into existence. It's the faith that brings that thing to. You didn't know that you were going to be this plus size model initially until you had the faith to believe, and then the things started to move because you started to speak to those things and then you started to believe those things, and so then you had the faith to start to create those things to start to coming in. And so when you have God in the same way, he's doing the same thing where he reorganizes things. And sometimes we say, yeah, well, I lost that, and God is saying, listen, you didn't necessarily lose it, because again, it's mine. I create all things. I provide all things. So it's no loss there. Everything is about gain. And everything is about the victory. Even though I go through the dry moments, even though I go through the challenges and moments, what I have to see is victory is always only a minute away. And it's how we can view those things. And even when you said, I went through some mental challenges, I went through some things, we don't wish that on anyone. We don't think that that's something anyone should have to go through. But it is reality when we lose where we are and who we are, and then whose we are.
Right.
You know, because most of the time people who go through those processes start saying, I lost who I was, or I didn't know who I was anymore.
Right.
And so, again, when you get into this world of social media, how important is it to find something to anchor you?
It's very important, actually. And we were talking about faith. My faith is what anchors me. I had to change my way of thinking. I had to, instead of like, okay, I lost this or whatever, I had to realize that everything in your life, my mother told me that everything in your life happens for your greater good. You may not see it at that moment. Yeah, it's, you know, human nature to feel some type of grief behind things, but you can't dwell on it for too long. You have to like, okay, this happened. What is the lesson in it? How can I apply this and move on? Because like you were saying, some people feel like they lost something or lost they self. But me feeling like I lost that old version of me wasn't going to be sustainable for my growth. So as you grow, you have to sacrifice. And it was just a matter of asking yourself, what am I willing to sacrifice to get to the next level? I feel like I had to cut out a lot of the noise. I had to God had to remove a lot of things. He had to remove a lot of people from me to really be alone. And a lot of people are scared to be alone. Mm-hmm. I used to be one of those people that always had to be around people. I had to always be doing something. But now as I've gotten older, I've become more introverted to kind of reset and to like restore my peace of mind and to like to hear God clear. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times there's so many distractions in the world and even with social media. You're scrolling seamlessly. Like we're always hustling, bustling. Like it's just so many things going on in the world to distract you from God and to distract Absolutely. You from like your inner thoughts. So sometimes I do have to disconnect and stay grounded and like, and meditate and I pray and just like trying to get my spirit right.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I was just thinking about the caterpillar. When we start to say things of losing, things have to be stripped off and have to be removed in order for you to grow into who you really are.
Right.
A caterpillar comes in and it's snailing around. You're thinking that, hey, that thing is moving so slow. Why is it not moving faster? But God said there's a timing for everything, right? Mm-hmm. And so some of your snail moments are about your growth moments, right? It is mm-hmm. in the preparation that God has for you, but it's the way you're doing. But a lot of times, we like to look at what the neighbor has and what everybody else has. Again, I'm looking at the fact that I can be a new influencer, but I'm looking at Cam and saying, Cam has got all these people, but I don't know what price Cam had to pay in order to get to that.
Right.
Right. And sometimes we yearn for those things. And so, as I said about the caterpillar, it has to go into a cocoon stage, which means that's an isolation place where it's only them and the transition and it's dark in there. Nobody else is in there. But what happens in there is the transformation opportunity. Mm-hmm. That when it will come out, it will be changed. It's creating something different. And I believe life is like that for us as well. There are times that we have to go into the cocoon. And then when we come out, if you allow the process to happen, you can be changed in something new and you don't have to remain in the old state because God is lifting you to a new thing. God is taking you to a new place. And so some of the things that we had to shed in those times mm-hmm. or for your growth now and for your elevation. I don't think a butterfly wants to go back to being a caterpillar.
Right.
Because it no. sees from new levels and new heights.
Right.
There are new depths in it. And it's even more beautiful.
Right.
Life for sure. becomes even more beautiful. So when you go through some of those moments that you had to go through, have you seen life to be more beautiful now?
Absolutely. And it's just some things I can't resort back to.
Right.
On different ways I used to cope. Because like when you know better, you do better. But yeah, I'm very, very much more appreciative of life. I even think about the time I did have those suicidal moments. I'm like, I was about to throw my life away over something that really didn't matter as much. But at the moment, I didn't know how to deal with it. Nobody taught me how to deal with stress, how to deal with other feelings besides all I saw was like anger and dealt with a lot of trauma as a kid.
Yeah.
So I feel like I had to become the adult or the person I wish I had growing up.
Wow. Okay. So let me ask you a question. When we started talking about the thing, if we can just talk just a little bit, when we started talking about family dynamics and we started talking about post-traumatic syndrome, what you're saying, I'm actually, you know, a doctor for real, meaning that I do have a degree. So right. It's not as though I got an honorary. So I am talking about those 21 years in mental health and also working on mental health now and social work.
Right.
One more year to go so then I can study for clinicals to become licensed in Virginia. But however, I've learned a lot over the 21 years. A lot of things stem from what we went through and
right.
things that we didn't process. And that's why we call it post-traumatic syndrome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are things that remind you of what you went through that you never dealt with. The things that you did not leave in the cocoon, but you decided to take it on to the new place.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I start to think about those things now, and I have this question for you, is how does your family pay into your new now?
That's I feel like a loaded question. Yeah. Me and my family, it's been really toxic growing up, to be honest. Yeah. But I think we all had to learn things. I feel like some of my family members are growing with me.
Mm.
Instead of holding on to stuff and like holding grudges, I've let a lot of stuff go. They've let us a lot of stuff go, and we've kind of talked through it. I think they support me the best way that they can.
Mm-hmm.
And I do love them and appreciate them for that. And I realize, like, love isn't always what – it's not always, like, people doing exactly what you want them to do.
Yeah.
I think growing up – because where I grew up really rough, but I've always been very intelligent. So I was always in AP classes around other people who I feel like had more than me. And I feel like that's the easiest way to be depressed is always comparing yourself.
Yeah.
So I feel like I was always subconsciously comparing my family dynamics to everybody else's or whatever. But I am grateful because at the end of the day, they have been supportive. And there's some people that don't have anybody at all.
Yeah.
Because I used to have this saying, because people are like, Cam, things can always be worse. I'm like, things can always be better, too.
Yeah.
So I always used to feel like, I just feel like my whole life has just been like an uphill battle. Like, I just, like, get tired sometimes. Like, even, like, now I'm just, like, exhausted. Like, who, like, am I going to get a break? I think at some point I was, like, waiting for somebody to save me. And I'm like, I got to be there for myself. I can't be looking for a break all the time. But at the same time, those challenges is what have made me who I am.
Yeah.
That's what differentiates me from other people. Yeah. There's other big and tall models. I'm not the only big and tall model in the world. But when it slowed down, I feel like that's what's kind of kept me going. It's like just having that fight in me, having that dog in me, that being ambitious and just not giving up. Even though I may get weary, like it's just something in me that just won't stop. Like even I feel like in the future when I get to the, I don't even really know what, I used to have this idea of what I thought I wanted in the future, like your goals. I still have goals, but now I'm open to, I want to align with what God's purpose is for me.
There you go.
Because everything, you know, when you're younger, what, I'm 33 now, I thought X, Y, and Z was going to happen. I thought this was going to happen. And it's like nothing has happened the way I thought it was going to happen. So I've still been blessed in the midst of it, but I'm also giving it to God. Like I'm just, I feel like I have a direction, but I don't have this ideal image of like where I'm going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now. I'm just kind of like going with the flow and just doing the best that I can every day.
Okay. And one of the things you said, I'm 33. I know you just had a birthday, and we say happy birthday to you. Listen, but one of the things I say, 3 + 3 = 6, which is a year of man. So I want to tell you, this is a year of the men, right?
Gotcha.
Coming forth, going through things, challenges, things that we've had to go through, but being strengthened. But one of the important things that I believe is about how you take your challenges and your experiences and you take them and help another brother up.
Right.
Why is it that we don't want to help another one through some of the challenges?
I've always been the person to help somebody because I feel like I've always been an empath. And I'm like, I wish I had that person when I was going through my tough time.
Right.
And so I'm always that person. But I think what happened for me is sometimes I feel like, and I used to hate that about myself. I'm like, I feel like I'm always like too loving or too gullible sometimes. Because sometimes I feel like I got like screwed over trying to help people. And I feel like sometimes I'm helping the wrong people. But I learned to like help people with boundaries. Because sometimes I feel like showing people love is not doing whatever they want you to do, or sometimes it's like what they need. And then also, you can't expect things in return sometimes, because sometimes I've learned that the place that you sow your blessing isn't always, 9 times out of 10, isn't the place you're going to receive it back.
Right.
So like, if I see a homeless person, I get them $100 off the street. No, I ain't going to use that as an example. Say I got a best friend, I need to borrow $100. Get them $100. Thinking like, hey, you gonna pay me back within this certain time frame. And I may not get the money back.
Right.
But then I may have somebody to just bless me. Hey, you was on my mind. Here's $200 or whatever. So I feel like that's how like God works. That's how life works sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like you don't always get things back in the same direction or the same capacity of where you sowed that seed.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that that's so important because a lot of times we have ulterior motives for doing things. And it's about how we can receive from what we give. That's, you know, it is a reciprocity thing. You know, if you plant, things will grow, things will happen, as long as it's in the timing and will of God, right? It's going to happen. That's just a natural thing. But again, God did not tell us to bless someone in order just for you to get a return, right?
Right.
He created us to be disciples. He created us to go out and to share the good news. And that's what we're supposed to do. And anything that we do, we are supposed to be able to do that. And this is my pastor's side now, that when we start to say, how are we going to influence others if we never see light, right? We have to be the light.
Right.
That's what he called us to do. We have to illuminate dark places. And I know that you say you were in a dark place. What brought you into the light where you started to see life differently? You started to see the rough moments change. You started to see yourself not start thinking about suicide, but I know I have more to live for.
I think what helped me start to see the light, I can't think of the exact moment, but I do know when I had my suicide attempt and I left the hospital, I remember driving around and I was just asking myself, like, why? Like, I was trying to get to the root cause. Like, why do I feel this way? What, like, what triggered this? I've been asking, being alone has caused me to ask myself the hard questions. Instead of searching for the light, like you said, I think I started to become the light. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, I can say a lot of my success has come from me helping people, being transparent about my journey, because I do feel like this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, for some people from my family where I grew up, they think like I made it. But I'm like, no, I think it's just getting started, to be honest, because I feel like God is using me as a testimony to show people somebody that you typically wouldn't mm-hmm. think as a model can do what some may think is the impossible.
Yeah.
And encourage people to follow their dreams, follow their heart, and to show them the ups and the downs. Mm-hmm. So I really feel like this platform is not for me. It's to help other people mm-hmm. and to influence people and to love themselves. And essentially all of this is about confidence, to be honest. When I was going through that dark place, I've always grew up as a confident person. Well, not always. I dealt with some things as a kid, or being a plus size kid or whatever. I think when starting to play football, being a preteen, I started to become more confident. My mom instilled a lot of confidence in me. But I think after that last relationship, I feel like it stripped me of my confidence. I didn't even know who I was anymore. And that's what the sad part was. It's like that constant fight between your heart and your mind. Like, my mind know I'm different, like something's, but my heart keeps wanting to gravitate and go towards that toxic situation because it's like, that's my comfort zone. And I know you heard, like, your comfort zone will kill you, but my mind's like, I got to get out of this.
Yeah.
But I couldn't shake it. Normally, I feel like everything I put my mind to, I could get out of it, but I was just stuck in this place. It was like spiritual warfare. I felt like, I didn't really believe in soul ties at that moment, but I started really, like, it's something, like, beyond my control, and I can't get out of this.
Yeah.
And so I never thought I would be in this place. I can vividly remember just being in a room, like, just, man, I was just, like, bust out crying anywhere. Like, I was just, like, a wreck. Mm. Like, and then I saw growing up, my father had took his life in front of me when I was 10. And so I remember them telling me, like, that's not the way out. But I feel like I couldn't escape. And so I think I just started reaching. I think as men, a lot of times we try to, like, go, like, kind of separate and isolate from a lot of people. And it's good to isolate to an extent, but I feel like that's when community come into play and talking to people. And I started realizing a lot of people have similar battles. Everybody, like, you don't leave this earth, whether you rich or you poor, without going through something in life.
Yeah.
So when I started realizing everybody is battling, going through something, like, you don't have to always make everything seem like you're so perfect. That's unrealistic.
Yeah.
I meet so many people from all walks of life, share my story, and I just notice, like, me being authentically myself, how it impacts and touches people. And so I just really been leaning into that. Rebuilding my confidence. Confidence is contagious. Pouring into other people's mm-hmm. space, giving them compliments. Hey, brother, that looks good on you. That looks mm-hmm. nice.
Mm-hmm.
You should try this. Step outside of your comfort zone. That's what's going to get you to the next level, is like stepping outside of your comfort zone and trying things that you probably were afraid to do.
Yeah. And one of the things that you mentioned in there, you said soul ties. A lot of times we do not believe that that is real, that you can be connected to the wrong soul, the wrong spirit, which means when you say soul ties, you're talking about spiritual ties as well.
Right.
Really, that's what we're talking about. It's the spiritual things that whoever, whatever they've been into, and we start taking on that spirit, whatever it is. And then spiritually, the warfare starts again. The principalities of the air is who we should be battling with, of course, and fighting against, right? And we should always be having those things. But when do we stop fighting those things and we start taking on what someone else says? And many times in relationships, we lose. You mentioned something so key. We stop believing in who we are and stop believing to who we are connected to.
Right.
And that's not what God created us to do.
Right.
He is the only one that we should be believing in, first of all. Everything right. else should be a support in that belief battle.
And just to I just to kind of like add to it, I realize that when you put God first, everything else just falls into line. Because I feel like sometimes, like, society we live in now, we're always busy. We got to do this, we got to do that. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, if you don't put God first, it's like all that can just crumble. Like everything, it won't matter. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it just, he will put the right people in your path. Everything will get done. You have to make time for God. Like instead of putting God on the back burner. And that's the thing. So I'm like, I started going to church more. I started praying more. I'm like, when I first wake up, when I go to sleep, I'm like, I have to make time for God. Cause I wouldn't have got to where I'm at now if it wasn't for him. But I also was going to say, a lot of times with relationships and stuff, because like now, like I'm not dating seriously because I feel like my entire life I put everybody else first. Mm-hmm. So I feel like now I'm putting myself first. I'm focusing on me. I feel like I'm raising my inner child. And so sometimes I feel like in the right timing, it'll happen if it's supposed to happen. I'm not looking for it no more. But I realized in my last situation, I feel like I was committing idolatry. And a lot of times when people look at that word or like look at the Ten Commandments, they're thinking of like, okay, worshiping other gods or whatever, da, da, da. And that's not what it is. It's whatever you put above God. And I remember it was this sermon one time, he was saying, you know, whatever you put above God, he will use for your conviction. And a lot of times what's common is people idolize their relationships and they put this person up here. We're all men. We're all going to, seeing where I'm gonna let you down. Like people, friends let each other down. Like, so that's common. But I had to learn to not put so much power into somebody else, and like start focusing and putting that power into myself.
And what that says is again what I say about the reorganizing.
Right.
That God reorganizes in challenges and situations. And one of the things that I always tell people is just because we do go to church, just because we do become saved does not mean that it's hocus pocus and you're never going to have a challenge.
I feel like it's harder.
Because even when you have that, we have more mental health in ministries, pastors stepping away, lay people, things like that happen. And I think that's a misnomer that we say. Mm-hmm. I think now we're becoming more awakened to the opportunities to help one another with mental health. Illness, right? Because anyone can come down that path, right?
Right.
Suicide is real, right? Post-traumatic syndrome.
Yeah, it can
real.
Happen to anybody. Because I thought when people used to say they were depressed, I thought they were just being extra and exaggerating. Yeah. And I did learn there's a difference between just being sad and being depressed.
Absolutely.
Like, I realized I was depressed when I was like going to sleep sad, waking up sad.
No motivation.
And a lot of us are functionally depressed around here. Like people are not getting help and they're projecting. But all of that goes into like who I am now as a model. I'm not like, you know, super religious. I'm not going to portray I'm super religious. I'm very spiritual. I'm very in tune with myself. I'm very in tune with God. I work on myself every day. And I like to align myself with people who aren't just comfortable and being mediocre, but striving to be the best versions of themselves every day. Even with the big and tall stuff, they keep like, oh, you're promoting obesity. I'm like, no, I'm saying love yourself now as you work towards being the best version of yourself. A lot of people want to wait to this moment or when this is perfect, and nothing's perfect. Right. So even when you think something's gonna be perfect, it's still gonna be something else to add to it. So you just have to take what you have, love yourself. Nobody's gonna, I feel like, love you more or give you kind of love that you're supposed to have for yourself. And a lot of times we try to compensate for that through partying, through smoking, drinking, all that other stuff, relationships, and it's not. That's why people they be chasing this void. They be trying to fill this void, and that void is like you're supposed to replace, like, with God, or like you get in tune with your spirit and replace that with God. And I feel like I started feeling whole when I started kind of like being alone and like facing my demons and facing the things that I need to address. That I feel like that was a thing I feel like was missing my entire life that I was like avoiding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the things that, you know, my social workers are going, they call it imposter syndrome, right?
Right.
And that's about us really doing some things or acting like someone that we're really not. Social media, there's a lot of imposter syndrome going on, right?
Right.
And again, reality TV. We see these clips, we see a lot of things, we see the Lambos, we see the jewelry, we see the some things are not real, some things are real, some are imitation, some are borrowed. And a lot of times we try to emulate the things that we see, but really it's not reality.
Gotcha.
And a lot of times we step into realms and different things like that, and it does play into mental thoughts. It plays into suicide. It plays into depression. It plays into the mental illness aspects of the things that we do as well. And when we start to really deal with reality, which is the real self, the real thing on the inside, as you mentioned about weight, again, just because you are heavy set does not mean you need to have suicide. It's you're going to always commit suicide. Just because one is small does not mean that, you know. And when we start playing into those things and we say hateful things toward each other, those are things that contribute to suicide. Right. Is the way that we speak toward one another, regardless of where you come from, regardless of what size you are, regardless of what race you are, we should learn to speak the universal language, which is called love. And that's what we should have. The most important thing is about love. When we surround ourselves with those things, then love helps us to really deal with the pain of what happened at age 10 with your father. You know, the pain of the things that we did not really understand. When we start to love, and you mentioned that, you said love yourself. A lot of times we can't love other people because we don't love ourselves. And we look for love in others as opposed to looking for love internally, which is the thing that really helps us to move through life every day, is how you love yourself. I believe that, again, that when we are angry, we don't love ourselves, right? There is an open gap there that's not love, that has not been tapped. But when we really start to understand that my love is not for sale, it helps to contribute to peace. And so that brought me to this piece. How do you maintain your peace now?
I maintain my peace. I think by going to therapy and really working on myself, I'm more aware. And like my therapist said, when you're aware, you can make more conscious decisions. Mm-hmm. So I can tell, like, when I'm getting overwhelmed now, because I feel like I used to just crash out. Like, I'll do everything I can until, like, I just get to this point. And then it's like, I crash out. And then that's what people think I'm crazy. It was like, what is wrong with him? But they weren't. I'm giving off hints that I'm getting, like, frustrated.
Right.
But they're not really paying attention. So now, but that's me giving other people power and control over things that I need to understand as my boundary. So now if I feel like I'm getting overwhelmed, I remove myself. I also do better with communicating, hey, I need a break or whatever, or I need to, you know. So I feel like I just kind of like, to get my peace, I kind of isolate to reset. Okay. Not isolate to be like,
to be in depression.
Distant, yeah, or to be depressed. Right. It's just I isolate to reset.
Right. And so that's great. What you have identified is some coping skills.
Right.
You are doing things to help you to deal with situations that you cannot change. There's one young lady that I say, let them, and I can't remember her name right now, but she has a book out, Mail, that's what it is. And her book, again, is Let Them, right? And then Let Me,
right,
pretty much, is what she's talking about, is that there are things that you cannot control. And many times that suicide and things like that happen because we're trying to control environments and trying to control things that really we do not have control over.
And that was one of my biggest flaws, is I feel like is it can be good and it can also be bad. But I'm a person that like make like if I take the initiative over my life. Things that if I want, I go for it.
Yeah.
And I did. I feel like I had control issues. And so when things were getting out of my control, I was like crashing out, and right. I was, I think I was internalizing a lot of it.
There you
but
go.
Now I realize like I can only control what I can control.
Right.
The only thing I can control really is myself and my reaction. So some things I may be disappointed. I acknowledge how I feel about it, mm-hmm. but I don't dwell mm-hmm. on it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, yeah. and I just go another route. Yeah. Like that, because I've learned anything in life. It was the one interview. I was like, every no you hear, that means you're just closer to your yes.
Absolutely.
And so when stuff doesn't work out, that means it wasn't meant for you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
so figure out, like, you just got to figure out the next route or what's next. Mm-hmm. I think, like, when we go back to my career with modeling, it's been slow. I see the decline in big and tall modeling, even the modeling industry as a whole, not just within this market. But so I'm like, okay, what else? Because I feel like the modeling was just my foot into the door. But now I'm tapping into online shopping and just and selling other products besides apparel and acting. I'm having interviews with major production companies and stuff like that I didn't even apply for. They're seeking me. So I'm like, okay, I feel like that's a sign. Mm-hmm. People are always, my friends are like, bro, you really need to be on TV. Like,
yeah.
So I think I was always nervous because I feel like I always had to show different sides of myself. And I know like on TV, you got to like, mm-hmm. for the most part, you got to be you or you're going to get called out for it.
Yeah.
And so I think now I feel like I've healed a lot. So I think it would be a good transition into television, film, or and then I feel like this online shopping stuff is helping you get more comfortable being on camera, being yourself. But I see the shift in just because very few people, very few percentage of people that are going to become professional models. But what I really try to instill in people, regardless if you become a model or not, like I'm trying to help you become confident in becoming a creative and turning yourself into a personal brand. So I feel like my background in business administration, marketing, has also contributed to my success as a model, turning myself to a brand, being able to represent different products and speak into it, and learning how to engage with people and connect with people.
But until you saw that there was that you're multifaceted, suicide was trying to tell you you only had one way. But once you saw the light different, your prism of life now. It's showing you something totally different, that you can act, you can model, you can speak, you're a businessman, you've got so many, after you're a man of faith now, you're helping, you're an encourager, you're an influencer. How many things God has in store for you when we start to see him in a bigger place? And what I see that God is showing you so many things, and to see you now sitting here, you're not the same person that you were. And what you become now is even bigger.
I think, to be honest, I always knew I was talented. I always knew I was multifaceted, which made it more difficult to figure out what I really wanted to do long term.
Okay.
So that's why I feel like now I've created a lane where all of those skill sets can come together.
Yeah.
When I felt like, when I did feel suicidal, I think it came from abandonment issues. I didn't realize like what happened with my father. I didn't realize that created abandonment for me, because I feel like most people in my life I would leave or be done before mm-hmm. they were done with me. Or if I felt any type of hint or somebody was trying to get away from me, I just feel like I would just be done or just cut off like quick. My last situation, I feel like I got left at the end of the day, and that triggered my abandonment issues. And then I think started feeling like no matter what I did, because I feel like I always had to earn love or work for love.
Right.
So I feel like that came from that. That's where that kind of like fight in me comes from, or me trying to do all this and be perfect mm-hmm. or whatever. But I feel like in that moment, it didn't matter what I did or what I was good with. I feel like nobody like loved me for real.
Yeah.
And not saying that to like nobody feels sorry for me, but I honestly felt unlovable. No. I felt like my family, my growing up, my parents, I think they did the best they could, but I felt unprotected growing up. I felt unloved. Mm-hmm. But I used that to learn to like give myself that. And then I feel like when I give myself that, all the other people, the right people will align. So it's like I'm setting a standard for myself. So anybody come in my life, you're going to have to show me a certain amount of love and a certain amount of respect because I give it to myself. But a lot of times people out here, they feel, they may feel like that, and they keep attracting other people who are the same way. And when they come into your life, then they're abusive.
Which is a spirit.
They take advantage of you.
Yeah.
And so I really I learned that you have to become what you expect and what you want out of life.
Okay.
You can't sit there and just wait for it to just magically come to you.
Yeah, and one of the things that you said about love, again, love helps to heal unhealed places in you. The more love you can get in you, the more love you can have around you, it helps to heal you.
Right.
And those are the greater things that when we start to see those things is how we become healed. And one of the things I learned in my seminary training was the fact that, you know, hurt people, right? They want you to hurt because I'm hurting.
Right.
They, you know, and all I see is hurt. But when we start to see people and say, you start to see love, you'll start to attract more love people. When I become more lovable, more love comes my way as well, which means I start to say, I've got to get healed, I got to get whole, and I got to get out of here, and I got to stop doing these things. And so as I would say to anyone right now, as I'm saying, listen, find love in yourself and then get the help that's necessary. Therapy is not taboo. It's not a taboo thing. And if you cannot afford to get the therapy like that, then you find someone that you maybe be able to confide in that's not going to just help you cope with the situation, but that's going to help speak life for you. I believe we need those things. And so as we transition, because that's been a very good subject about that, and I believe that it's going to not just help men, but it's going to help women as well, or help people find themselves in low places trying to figure out how to get out. And you want to say Cam, Big Cam is an example. That he came out of the rut, he came out of the hole, and that he's still fighting to do some things and just stay there, and that's okay. We never want to act like we've achieved it and we can never go back, because you're only a problem away if you don't solve it correctly.
For sure.
And so even when we look at that now, Cam, you said something else. You the modeling, you know, we talked about the business, entrepreneur. Now you talked also about, hey, I'm doing some online things. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so I'm becoming more active on TikTok Live. I have one video I made. It's at like 1.2 million views. I actually, my first viral moment on the internet was on TikTok, even though I didn't post it. It's at about 40 million views now. But a little boy thought I was his dad. He saw this advertisement in JCPenney's. He was like, Daddy, that's you. His mom was like, no, it's not. He was like, yes, it is. And then she turned the camera and looked at him. He's like, that's not me or whatever. But it's crazy. Some people think, I don't know, because I'm like big black guys. We all look alike. I don't know. We brothers or whatever. But I'm like, we clearly don't look alike. But some people are like, oh, they are. That is the same person, or they're brothers or something. It was like, but it wasn't. But it was just so funny because the little boy was just so convinced. He was confused. He was like going back and forth. So, but with the online shopping thing, I know that's kind of like the future. That's the wave. That's like where everything's leaning into towards. That's what's appealing for Generation Z and Generation Alpha. And so just people want to see more organic engagement, especially like when COVID hit. People weren't able to go into the store, so they're leaning on real reviews on how things work.
Okay.
And also, people are not always trusting like curated content. So it's like, say I get paid to advertise this magazine. Mm-hmm. Of course, I got paid, so I'm gonna, my review of it may be fictitious a little bit, or, you know, I over exaggerate, like this is the best, and it's really not that. But sometimes with real reviews, they tell you like, okay, I don't like this, this didn't work, but this worked. Like, so that's what people are leaning more towards. And but I like to speak to brands that I actually use. So I become real heavy into self-care products, facial treatments, beard care, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, or just like everyday items that I like to use. And so I feel like even if people were tuned into me just on the modeling side, like I know how to sell it. Because at the end of the day, when you're yeah, it's about looks, but modeling, you're selling the clothes. Like, you're supposed mm-hmm. to be selling the clothes.
Okay.
And so that's essentially, like, what I'm good at is engaging with people. And I think because, like, with my credibility in the major brands I've worked with, people listen to me. I was Skims, one of their first big and tall models for Kim Kardashian, the Savage Fenty, Nike.
Now, did you ever meet Kim?
No.
Oh, I didn't meet Kim. Okay.
But it was a men's campaign.
Okay.
And, like, we had to sign NDAs. And, uh-huh. I mean, it was people on set, right. But we just couldn't, like, film them or talk to them.
Right.
So, but, yeah. So online shopping is the wave. And then I met Brent. He's been, like, helping me a lot and speaking life into me and kind of helping me kind of, like, merge over into mm-hmm. that. So still doing what I do as a model, but also making that transition because this is something, like, everyday people are on TikTok mm-hmm. or whatever. Everybody doesn't – it's hard for people to kind of, like, get that blue check mark on Instagram or make their page look like this or a magazine. But I feel like TikTok has more reach now. Online shopping, you get more reach and people, because people want to know, like,
yeah.
what's hot, what's not. Like, they're not always tuned in.
But Cam, let me just say this. You know, there are some things on TikTok that we could say we're promoting and we buy it, right? We get it and we say, that don't look like what we bought.
Right.
How do we become and stay authentic and don't just sell things just because we do have a big following? And we are able to be compensated.
That can happen, but that's why they have, like, the lives.
Right.
So it's not just content that you edited and put together. So, right. like, being on live, you can really speak to it. But what was the second part? You said, how do we
stay authentic and not just... Because someone is saying, I think you and I had this conversation you have your products, you got some things that are here that you want to actually kind of show while we're on live. But however, you mentioned, I only kind of get the things that I would use and reuse again. I'm not going to just tell somebody this, and that's not true.
And that's how I stay authentic.
Okay.
It's stuff that I actually use and that I actually like.
There
instead of me trying to pick stuff that I'm like, I really don't even know how this works. I don't know what this is. Like, I don't even know.
Screws falling out.
Right. So, just like, I really try to use stuff that I feel like that really appeal and align with my aesthetic and my personal brand.
Things that align with who you are.
Right.
Things that you believe in. Because I've been approached about it as well, you know, being on TikTok as well, and different things. And I've been very skeptical about trying to do that or crossing into those lanes and having to make the videos and all those things. And again, I want to be very authentic. And if I'm going to recommend something to someone, I want to make sure it is something that I do use. It is not just because I can make money.
But you can still do it even with clothes because I was a model for Fashion Nova. And so they've kind of scaled back on their male influencers. But I saw that they got on TikTok. So they probably feel like instead of just doing UGC content and mm-hmm. just shipping stuff out to regular influencers, they can connect more on TikTok and get more money from everyday people. They're buying the products and, like, they're trying it on, doing the get ready with me hauls and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I think they figured out that was a more lucrative lane for them instead of just connecting with different influencers and them kind of, like, trying it on. They want people to actually show real reviews mm-hmm. of the product, everyday people to show those reviews as well.
Right. And I think that's really good. Do you have anything that you want to show, that you want to talk to about, that do you live, that you want to present or anything?
Oh,
if you guys are shopping,
you
already got ready on that thing?
Yes, I'm still live.
I'm just trying to tell him. I mean, he got his own live here. He's got a few things
no,
here.
I need Brent. I need Brent here.
Yeah. Let's keep going with this, though.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's just one of those things that we're saying, hey, if we got some products that are here that we believe we should, you know, like I'm always doing lives and different things like that. Sometimes you need the right lighting. Right. You need the right stand and things like that. And so why not? Big Cam got some things for us, y'all. So we want to see what he's doing and what he's picked out for us. And let's see whether or not we're going to do that. And then y'all got to hit the hearts on there and everything. And just let us know if y'all rocking with us on what he's doing, you know.
Right.
What you got, Cam?
Before we get into live, is there anything else you want to say or we need to bring up with Encourage?
Yeah, I think on Encourage, again, this is a platform, again, about encouraging us, men especially, but women, you can tune in as well. But in doing the Encourage, what happens with that, again, is that we are interested in bringing faith into it, fashion into it, and bringing authentic messages to the public and to this platform. And so again, I want to thank you for being able to do that, talk about faith, talk about real opportunities in life and moving us through and telling us how you have overcome. That's what we're talking about. That's at Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous, man. That's what we are always saying. And it takes a village. It takes us to continue to keep going through. So as we keep pushing that dude, we'll keep saying iron sharpens iron, and we'll keep grooving, we'll keep moving, and we'll keep elevating.
And one thing I'll say to encourage anybody that may be seeing this is that everybody's journey is different. Everybody has a different calling. But the thing that I feel like is consistent with success and to anybody's mission is just not giving up.
No,
I've been doing this stuff. I got some major things in the works. But I've been doing this for the last 5-6 years. A lot of times people be wanting to put themselves on a timeline. Like, if this doesn't happen during this time, I'm just going to give up. But you have to, like, keep going. Even, like I said, the more no's you hear, the closer you are to your yes. Anybody that's made it, it was not easy. I don't know anybody that's, like, on top or beyond. The Beyonce even showed, like, when she had their little group or whatever. How they didn't win everything or whatever. Right. Michael Jackson didn't win everything. Like, people who've really made it in life, and people can make it in different ways, but people like major celebrities that people look up to, I'm like, they had to go through some stuff. Like, the people slept in their cars. I mean, I don't wish that on other people. And some of those hard times, I don't regret, because they built character along the way. They made me who I am. They made me more relatable. So, yeah, I can't believe I'm saying it, but I'm glad I went through everything that's negative that's happened to me. I'm blessed for it because it's made me who I am.
Everything is working out for your good.
Right.
And that's scripture.
And I learned for it.
And so here we go. It's bringing the Cam that we see now. And we're so glad that the Cam sees what we see, which is value, that shining star, that opportunity that he illuminates wherever he goes. And so may you continue to keep on illuminating wherever you go and whatever your dreams are. May you achieve every opportunity that's in God's will for you because of the fact that you've been called for such a time as this, sir. Let's roll.
Amen.